We could take a little trip this morning, in fact, a trip to a few different places. At first, they say you should always start with a joke. So there's a little boy who's sitting in church with his mother. Like little boys do, he was fidgeting, squirming in his seat, becoming more restless as the preacher seemed to go on and on and on. Well, after it seemed like hours to him, he finally stood up and said loudly to his mother, "Hey, Mom, do you think if we give him more money, he'll let us go?" Don't try that today. That won't work. So I have a question for you. This is going to be a little bit interactive this morning. So if you could visit any place on earth, where would you like to go? Where would you like to go?
Alaska.
Alaska. We have two votes for Alaska. Everybody, okay. Anybody want to go anyplace else besides Alaska? Huh?
Italy.
Where? All right. So we're going to take a little journey today on a few different places. I'd like to have you join me in an imaginary trip to some very unique destinations that are regarded as maybe the most exotic places on earth. Now, I could show you pictures of these places, but instead, what I want you to do is to use your mind's eye and your imagination as we visit these places that will, if you were to see a picture, would take your breath away by their beauty, their cultures, and their uniqueness of landscape. But today, all you will have is your imagination, your visualization, as we trek to these places for just a few minutes. You know, God has created some very special places here on this earth that he formed. In our Torah, we only hit just a very small sample of what is considered by some of the best places to visit and experience, according to some of the most respected travel advisors from across the globe. So are you ready to take a little trip? Even if we don't go to Alaska? You with me? Okay. So our first stop is the Swiss Alps. Who'd like to go to the Swiss Alps? Oh, see, the Alaska bus is already being shoved to the side. Here's the description. Snow-covered mountains, charming towns, and flower-strewn meadows make the Swiss Alps a year-round fairy tale destination. Visit in the winter for world-class skiing in locales such as the exclusive St. Moritz and the picturesque Zermatt, home of the craggy Matterhorn. Matterhorn, isn't that a dinosaur? Matterhorn, there we go. Opt for winter months to hike through the verdant valleys of the Swiss National Park or attend lively festivals in the foothill towns of Montreux. Regardless of the time of year, no trip would be complete without a visit to the Jungfrau region, where you can saunter through idyllic mountain villages and take Europe's most highest railway station to see the rest of this beautiful country. Now, who wants to go to the Swiss Alps? Okay. Destination number two, Bora Bora. Say it with me, Bora Bora. Anybody know where that is? Just south of Bangor, a couple miles. So it's just south of the equator in the South Pacific. So what this 12 square mile French Polynesian island may lack in size, it makes up for in sheer tropical beauty. Here you'll find picturesque beaches, lush jungles, and luxurious resorts set on surrounding islets. The island's extinct volcano, Mount Atamahu, makes for a great photo op or challenging hike where the friendly Bora Bora locals can help you catch a glimpse of the island's best sights during an off-road excursion. To relax, head to Matrita Beach for crystal clear water and postcard-worthy white sand. Although a trip to Bora Bora is pricey, most travelers will say it's worth every penny. Now, who wants to go to Bora Bora? Anybody still for Alaska at this point? No Alaska. Next destination, Machu Picchu. It's in Peru. So a visit to this Peruvian wonder is not for the faint of heart, but is often described as a life-changing adventure. Built by the Incas in the mid-15th century, Machu Picchu encompasses well-preserved agricultural, residential, and religious structures. While a four-day hike along the Inca Trail is challenging, you'll climb to an elevation of roughly 8,000 feet, arriving during sunrise is well worth the effort. Who wants to go to Machu Picchu? Colleen, you and John. The bus leaves at 3. Here's another spot you might try. The Maldives Islands. So it says here, it's not cheap or easy to reach, but this isolated Indian Ocean vacation spot located near southwest of India is the embodiment of a dreamy tropical resort and retreat. In this remote country, which is made up of more than 1,000 islands, thatched roof over water bungalows sit right above the aquamarine sea, providing easy water access in a romantic atmosphere. On this once-in-a-lifetime vacation, fill your days with beach trips, spa treatments, snorkeling or scuba diving excursions. If cabin fever sets in, take a day trip to the island of Fuduhu or Rimbuhu and taste the local culture there. All those for the Maldive Islands. What's that, Joyce? Well, if that's not your flavor, try this one. Tanzania. John, you've been to Tanzania, haven't you? Says a top-tier safari destination, this East African country draws wildlife enthusiasts hoping to catch a glimpse of the Serengeti National Park's Big Five: the lion, the rhino, the leopard, the elephant, and the buffalo. If you can foot the bill, stay in one of Tanzania's swoon-worthy tented camps that take glamping to another level. Beyond Serengeti, Tanzania houses 21 other national parks, including one dedicated to Africa's tallest peak, Kilimanjaro. You'll be tempted to spend your whole trip exploring Tanzania's island terrain, but be sure to hold and build in some time for recovery on their white sandy beaches of outlying islands like Zanzibar and Pemba. Who wants to go to Tanzania? Sue, John, all the McLaughlins want to go. We're almost done. The Great Barrier Reef. This globe's largest collection of coral reefs and one of the original 7 natural wonders of the world touts a one kind of scenery, At Australia's Great Barrier Reef, you'll find more than 600 islands and 1,600 species of fish. Though plenty of diving and snorkeling spots can be found along Queensland's coast, to escape the crowds, visit the Whitsunday Islands, which happen to have some of the world's best beaches. Tourists can expect to pay a small daily environment tax that is crucial for reef preservation. Opting for eco-friendly digs and low-impact tours, such as kayaking excursions, can also help preserve this natural treasure. I'm sure nobody wants to go to the Great Barrier Reef, but just in case you do, raise your hand. Colleen, you're already going someplace.
I know, but that was my first
thought. Oh, I see. Everybody's first thought was Alaska, too, but now they're not putting their hands up. Here's one a little more local. Yellowstone National Park. Anybody been there? Some of you have. A visit to this national park in Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming is considered by many to be a rite of passage for Americans, and is sure to have you in awe of nature's power. Marvel at the kaleidoscope of waters of the Grand Prismic Spring. Catch Old Faithful's geyser nearly hourly show. Admire, from a safe distance, roaming buffalo and bison in the Lamar Valleys, or simply relax with a picnic at Yellowstone Lake. To get in more touch with nature, reserve a spot at one of Yellowstone's 12 campgrounds and spend the night beneath the stars. Pretty enticing. New Zealand. Jan always said she wanted to go to New Zealand. I said, let me know how you make out, because I'm not going. So this is South Island, New Zealand. New Zealand's South Island brims with the majestic landscapes at every turn, from dramatic mountains to spectacular fjords. Here, you can hike through the mountains of the Fjord National Park or admire them from a boat on Milford Sound. At night, journey to the University of Canterbury's Mount Jane St. John Observatory to gaze at the starry skies. You can also indulge in your inner daredevil in Queensland, a favorite destination among bungee jumpers. Sample delicious Sauvignon Blanc in the Marlborough region or explore New Zealand's most accessible glaciers. I'd like to go to New Zealand now. Sorry, it's part of the package. Last one. Almost. Patagonia. That's in Chile, in South America. It says, attention explorers. The granite peaks, glacier fields, fjords, and rainforests of Patagonia are calling. Chile's long silver of this rugged region stretches 1,000 miles from north to south, encompassing one of the best that Patagonia has to offer. Outdoor enthusiasts are up for a challenge. They could hike, hang on glaciers, or trek along the Doris Tepain National Park. Kayak on crisp blue waters in the Lake District, and seek out penguins on Island Magdalena. December through February, that's South America's summer season, is the ideal time to visit. But you still want to bundle up against the notoriously strong winds that pummel Patagonia year-round. Who's crazy enough to go to Patagonia? Joyce? All right. I saved the best for last. Our less earthly stop is Parkman, Maine. This quaint little village, nestled in central Maine, offers a variety of experiences for the tested world traveler. If your timing is right, you can entice your taste buds at a baked bean supper at the local Grange Hall. If recreation or swimming is in your plan, relax by the shores of Pingree Center Pond. After working up an appetite, you can stop by KC's store for a made-to-order Italian sandwich. And if you're lucky, if you're very fortunate, you'll discover one of Parkman's most colorful residents. Anybody want to guess? Norman Campbell. Who will revel you with stories of his adventures across the globe and mixed in with his famous dry humor. So if you're on a tight budget, just skip the rest of the places and make Parkman your destination go-to vacation. No offense to Parkman. So.
You didn't ask who wanted to go.
Okay, who'd like to go to Parkman? Here we go. There are many special places. So what do you think? Any of these places paradise on earth for you? Are you ready to pack your bags and trade in your identity from a maniac to a Bora Boraite? Anybody willing to do that? Well, folks, to get serious for a minute, I certainly don't need to remind you that sometimes life is as plain old hard. Our world surrounding us seems to be going crazy at breakneck speed. Our cultures, our morals, our way of thinking is changing seemingly every day. Our country, our standard of living, our health, our way of life, what we used to define as right or wrong, is deteriorating right in front of our eyes. And we cannot stop it. Well, before you buy your ticket to any of these destinations we talked about to escape the madness around you, there's one more place we should go today. It is widely considered the most unique place ever created. Its description is said to be beyond anything that can be humanly imagined. It is a place of unparalleled beauty. It was made using the best of materials. Its residents are the most friendly people you will ever meet. There's no crime there, never gets dark. It's considered the most peaceful place you will ever encounter. The best part is you have a standing invitation. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? Oh, one more thing. Your host promises that once you arrived, you can stay there forever. For free! Almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Of course, you're thinking, well, what's the catch here? Well, it's simple. You have an invitation, but you need to make a reservation. And just so you know, it's a one-way trip. When the bus leaves, it ain't coming back. Of course, we're talking about heaven. Just saying that name invokes images of grandeur, idyllic living, perfection, and of learning what is to be, what life is to be like in living forever in the presence of God. We cannot even comprehend that, folks. What comes to your mind as you think about heaven, really? Because we've all thought about that. We've all had questions about that. We've often wondered, what is heaven really like? Beyond what we read and beyond what we understand. The Bible does provide us with some ideas of what heaven looks like, but not a lot of details. What will life be like there? What will we be doing? Can we even comprehend what eternity means? I'm sure that all of us have questions about what heaven's really like. The Bible says that there's a few things that God gives us to entice us, to give us enough of a picture without the whole painting. And maybe for you, as you get older, it's kind of a paint-by-numbers thing that you get to fill in a little bit more color, a little bit more shade, a little bit more shape as you grow older, as you imagine what this eternal home will look like. The earthly life that we know is certainly not always easy. In fact, it seems to be more difficult as each day comes. So the Bible reminds us to have a heavenly perspective while we're here on this earth. We're reminded by Paul, who wrote in Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. This is a temporal home. Set your mind on the things above, not on the earth. James writes, one of our favorite verses, to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, when life gets difficult, when things seem to be working against you. Because the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, which leads to maturity and to perfection. We can't always understand the ways of God, and that's why he says, just trust me. I'll get you through it. Well, not all of our questions and curiosity will be answered concerning heaven while we're on this earth. There is some mystery, I think, intentioned by God, some mystery that will be revealed upon our arrival. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, he says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. There's a carrot right there without a lot of description. We have questions. God says, I know you have questions, but be patient. It'll be worth the wait. Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body into a glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I don't know about you, I'm ready for a makeover. How about you? By the way, here's a theological question that has not been answered yet. You think there'll be bald people in heaven? I used to have a t-shirt that said, God made a few perfect heads and the rest he put on hair. So don't be surprised if we're all bald in heaven, because that's the way God wants it. Are you looking forward to that new body? In the last 6 months, my body's going, hey, you're getting old. And it's not just humps and bumps and ouchies and aches and pains. Stuff happens as we get older. But one day we'll have a perfect body. Bald or not, we'll see. Do you ever wonder whether there's enough room in heaven for you? Ever encounter that question? You know, God doesn't own a no vacancy sign. Doesn't even own one. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many, many, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, specifically. And if I go to prepare that place, I will come back for you. I will come and receive you to myself so that we can be there together forever. Forever. Again, another concept that we can't put our minds around. But what a promise, what an encouragement, what a hope that we have right now. The Bible is described as being big. It's said in numbers-wise, it's about 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles deep, and 1,400 miles high. I didn't do the math because I don't think the calculator goes that high, but it's a big place. I don't even think we can comprehend how big that is. So yes, there's room for you in heaven. It's estimated that 20 billion people could live there comfortably. Jesus is preparing a room for you. He's got the key already. Revelation chapter 7 says that heaven will be filled with peace and joy and perfection, and that all nations and all people, all of us will worship Jesus together. It will be a spectacular, inspired, and holy eternal time of worship. I was thinking of that song. I can only imagine. The chorus says, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, and to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah or be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I could only imagine. Worship forever, eternally, with everyone. As we're describing these earlier places that we visit in our imagination, beautiful places that God has created on this earth, say certainly all pale in comparison to the exquisite beauty of our heavenly home. Again, our finite minds can't even imagine what that looks like. And I think it may be frustrating that God gives us some picture and some detail, but not everything. I believe that is because even if He painted us a picture, we couldn't understand it. We couldn't understand the entirety and vastness of it. To imagine the vastness, the structures, the colors, the perfection of what heaven will be like, you have to see it for yourself. Revelation 21 tells us there's no need for sun or the moon, for the radiance of the glory of God will be enough light in itself. No darkness, no night. Its walls are made as jasper, clear as crystal. The entire city is made of pure gold, said to be clear as glass. There are numerous types of jewels incorporated into this wonderful place. There is a river in the water of life that gently flows from the throne of God. And on its banks is the tree of life, the same tree that was in Genesis. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine this extraordinary place? My father-in-law, Fred Larrabee, died of a brain tumor in 1990. And just 3 weeks before his passing, he invited Jesus to be his Savior. He made his reservation. On August the 14th, his last day on this earth, while lying unconscious in a hospital bed in Bangor, just moments before the Lord called him home, his family by his side, he said in a clear and audible voice, "It's so beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh my, how beautiful it is." And he was gone. I believe that was Dad's first view of heaven. Those words that he said more than 30 years ago still resonate with his family and me. God also promises that we will no longer struggle with the things we struggle with on this earth. No more sin. No more evil. No more temptation. No more letting this sinful flesh get the best of us. Paul writes in Romans 8:18, he says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory is to be revealed to us." What we're experiencing is a moment in time when compared to eternity. A moment in time. No more death. No more mourning. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more suffering. No more hunger, no more thirst, and no more tears. God will wipe every tear from your eyes, every single one of them. Gone. There will be eternal joy. We will be comforted by being in the presence of God. We will forever worship and praise God, and we will continually, here's kind of an interesting thing, we will continually learn more of who God is. With that being said, we will never, never, never exhaust God. Never. Put that in your brain, stir it around for a minute. Let me know what you're thinking about that. Heaven promised to be so much more than what we can possibly understand, and yet, again, humanly, we still have questions. Our curiosity is sometimes never satisfied. We yearn to know more about what our eternal future will look like. What will we be doing there? We're just going to be singing 24/7? By the way, there's no time, so 24/7 won't exist. God deemed that we know all we need to know for now. Any further speculation is neither needed nor required. As I mentioned earlier, an eternal life as heaven is by invitation. But you must make a reservation to go there. Most people profess a desire to go to heaven and believe that they have earned their way in. Jesus made it clear when he said, "I am the only way. I am the only way. I am the only truth, and I am the only life that you must believe in. For no one comes to the Father but by me." That's the way in. It seems pretty simple, but unfortunately not everyone will accept that invitation. Only those who have placed their faith, their trust in their lives in the hands of Jesus. Every person who has ever lived on this earth has been extended that invitation to choose to come to become a true believer in Christ. To recognize that being a good person is not quite good enough. That skirting in on the coattails of others just won't work. God asks everybody the same question. Do you truly love me? Do you really know me? The answers to those questions lie in how we respond and whether we make our reservation to heaven. And it's very simple. We're all invited, but not everyone's going to go. The difference? How do you make that reservation? First, simply, you admit that you're a sinner. We already are. You just have to admit it. I've fallen short. I am an imperfect human being. Admit that we're a sinner. We need to be saved from the eternal consequences of that sin. Everyone's going to live forever, but where are you going to be? That's the question. Secondly, that you must believe that Jesus is God's Son and that he willingly died on a cross for you. And he did that to satisfy both your sin and all of humanity's sin. And lastly, that you confess with your whole heart and your voice that he is your Lord and Savior and that you choose to follow him forever. That's how we make our reservation in the heaven. We accept Jesus Christ for who he is, what he's done, and what he promises. That's how you stamp your reservation in the heaven. Do you have a doubt in your mind whether you're going to heaven or not? Have you made your reservation? If you're unsure or have questions, then we need to talk. I or any of the elders would be happy to talk with you. You know, the invitation is there. God wishes that no one perish. He created heaven for all who would come to believe in him. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you. I want you to close your eyes because I'm going to play a song to end this time. You need to close your eyes, and I want you to use your mind, eye, and your imagination as you hear the words of this song, "Waiting for Me."